Thank you for tuning in to the Bethel Podcast. At Bethel, we're all about relationship. So if you're in the Phoenix area, we'd like to invite you to one of our services. Please visit BethelChandler.com for more information. Now stay tuned for a message from Pastor Mike Gowans.
We are starting a new series today, The River. The River. And my message today is entitled, The Unity of the Holy Spirit. The Unity of the Holy Spirit. Turn with me to John chapter 7, verse 37. That's where we'll begin, and then I'll pray, because I need the Holy Spirit's help today. John 7, verse 37. The Passion Translations. Then on the most important day of the feast, the last day, Jesus stood and shouted to the crowds. So I'm going to do like Jesus. I'm going to shout. Just like he shouted. For those of you who have struggled at times when I get excited, when I start preaching and shouting, hey, I'm just doing what Jesus did. Okay? So if you have a problem with it, take it up with him. All right, so let's do this just like Jesus did. All you thirsty ones, come to me. Come to me and drink. Believe in me so that rivers of living water will burst out from within you. Flowing from your innermost being, just like the scripture says. Verse 39, Jesus was prophesying about the Holy Spirit that believers were being prepared to receive. But the Holy Spirit had not yet been poured out upon them because Jesus had not yet been unveiled in his full splendor. Would you bow your heads and pray with me? Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for sending your Son for us. Thank you for making a way, for keeping your promise. Jesus, thank you for doing what the Father instructed you to do. You obeyed him because you love him and you love us. And for that, we are eternally grateful. Holy Spirit, burst out of me today. Let rivers of living water flow. Let the Word come alive. Open up our eyes and our ears to hear the truth of your gospel, the truth of your Word. Holy Spirit, help me be bold, be strong, to be courageous. Fill us, Holy Spirit. Open our eyes. Everyone here, everybody watching online, open our eyes to what's true. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. God is amazing. God knows what he's doing. Even when we don't understand, God knows what he's doing. I was really excited. A few weeks ago, when I realized that our reassembling together with everyone who would want to come would happen on Pentecost Sunday. Weeks and weeks ago. In the beginning of this year, as the staff and leaders, we prayed and we sought God about the different series that he wanted us to preach. I just get tickled. I get so excited that I get to hear him. It never gets old, church. It never gets old when confirmation of life confirms that God, the God of the universe, spoke to me. And he's not a respecter of persons. He speaks to all those who would like to hear. In fact, Turn to Acts chapter 2. But as you do that, I want to read a scripture, and I'm just going to read it and then let it just settle. I'm not even going to unpack it. Galatians chapter 3, you can write this down. Galatians 3, 26 through 29 says, "So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. You belong to Christ. You are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." Encourage you. Read that a few times this week. Let it sink in deeply. Let the revelation, let the Holy Spirit bring fresh revelation of His truth. That we are all children of God now that we've been born again. God is not a respecter of persons. Let me just step out and you know, church, we are praying and we are believing God for revival in our land. And I know over my lifetime, over and over and over again, the devil always overplays his hand. As God knew what was going to hit our country and our world, and even this week, He'd prepared us. Even with this message that I'm going to preach today as we begin the journey of the answer. The answer to the problems and challenges and evils in our world. And as you know, many are praying for a cure or a vaccine, and not to get into a debate about vaccines, but you know, for this coronavirus, we all would like to see it go away, right? We'd all like to see it driven out. And we're praying that that cure would come, but there's another virus that's been in our world, in our country, and has plagued us, and it's the virus of racism and prejudice. 2,000 years ago, Jesus came. God delivered the cure. He delivered the cure to prejudice and racism. And for those of us who have allowed God to cure us, we have been called to deliver that cure to others. And I believe the day of Pentecost was the power to fulfill that mandate. 2,000 years ago, today, this day, that Sunday that we're celebrating today, Pentecost, He delivered the answer, and the answer is the power of the Holy Spirit. In fact, He told the disciples after the resurrection, after they became children of God, after they had been born again, because they were born again on resurrection day when Jesus breathed into them the Holy Spirit, He said, "Wait, wait here, wait, wait. Don't go out into all the world yet, but wait. Go to Jerusalem together and wait for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, for it had not yet been given." They had not yet been immersed with the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 2, on that day, we have the record of what happened, what took place. The revolution began. The river was unleashed. And it has never stopped flowing. There have been times that it has been, seems, stopped up, bottled up, held back. But in the last days, there will be no stopping it. And for 2,000 years, there have been pockets where the Holy Spirit, where the river of God could not be held down. And in those places, racism was driven out. Prejudice was driven out. And we'll get to that, but watch this. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. Come on, those of you who are watching from home, whoo, come on, rushing wind coming into your house today, the day of Pentecost. Be believing. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation. Say every nation.
Every nation.
Now, that'd be a pretty cool name for a movement of churches. Every nation, huh? From every nation, tribe, and tongue assembled together for this day. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all of these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language?" Church, God brought the nations to Jerusalem. He brought people of all kinds where He was going to fulfill the promise of pouring out His Spirit on all flesh. What was God up to? Reconciling us to Him and reconciling us to each other. Look, we are praying and we are doing everything God puts in front of us to see justice in our city, in our state, in our country, and we are praying for justice for George Floyd. We're praying for that justice. We are praying for it. I don't know how anybody can't be moved and grieved with the tragedy of what took place. We want it. We want justice. But there's something more. There's something more we're called to than just justice. Justice is important, and we're going to fight for it. We're going to pray for it. But God desires reconciliation. We are called to be reconcilers. As God has reconciled us, as we've been reconciled, we are called to reconcile. Follow me over to Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. He has committed us, the message. He's commissioned us. He has given to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore, come on, say that. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. As though God were making His appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. Church, justice is important. Forgiveness is important. But it doesn't end there. It doesn't end with, I forgive you. That's not it. God doesn't just forgive us and guarantee us a home in heaven, but He comes and He makes His home inside of us. He has fellowship with us. Jesus said, it's better that I go. It's better that I go so the Holy Spirit can come and be in you. To do what? To empower you. To strengthen you. Over the next coming weeks, many of you are going to discover a brand new best friend. Your bestest friend. That you didn't even know you already had. If you're a believer, if you've been born again, He already lives inside of you. When you asked Jesus into your heart, guess who came? It was the Holy Ghost. He's a friendly ghost. He's your best friend. Right before Jesus went to the cross, He gave a new command to the disciples and to us. For all those who would believe, He gave this command, a new command. In John 13, verse 34, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. Let me say it again. A new command, Jesus said. Not just love your neighbor as yourself, because that ain't going to do it. That ain't good enough. A new command, He said, I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. Verse 35. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Church, this is the answer to our problem in our world, in our city, in this nation. This is the answer to racism. This is it. You see injustice happening in your world. I didn't cause it. I didn't do it. It's so far from me. You know what? What if Jesus had that attitude for us? Huh? Where would we be today? But He gave up His rights as God. Church, when you gave your life to Jesus, you gave up your rights. You gave up your preferences. And I know there are many of you that have joined this church and you had to give up some preferences to be a part. For us to be all God's called us to do, you're going to have to. All of us have to. I mean, to some of you, I'm not white enough. To others, I'm not black enough. And to others, I'm not Latino enough. But we give up our preferences for the answer to this world. Today, still today, I'm just going to say it. And this is not today, Sunday, people of God. It is still, in this nation, the most segregated day of the week. The world's trying its best at this issue, even when some are using it for their own advantages, right? The world doesn't have an answer. We do. We, the church, have an answer to this problem called racism, and it's Jesus. He forgives us. And it's Jesus who reconciles us. Yes. He reconciles us into relationship. John 14, 17 says this, the Spirit of truth, the world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He lives with you and will be in you. He lives with you right now. In fact, when you go out, disciples, He's with you. And He helps you perform those miracles and those healings. But as Jesus here, moments before going to the cross, He says this Spirit of truth, this Holy Spirit who is with you soon will be in you. When did he get in them? After he went to the cross and was resurrected and he breathed on them in John 20:21, he was now inside. They now became the temple. When Jesus said, "It is finished," the veil was torn. Why? Because the Spirit was no longer going to live in a box. He was going to live in us. We became his temple because the blood of Jesus purified us and forgave us and then reconciled us to God. And in turn, we get to reconcile to one another. This is our call. We're ambassadors of reconciliation. Church, for just a time as this, I believe God has birthed this church, our church. What God has already done, and he's just begun here at Bethel. We've just begun. We got way more to go. We got way more for the river to drive out of us. We got way more people to be added to us. Church, this is the Holy Spirit and the rivers of living water that Jesus prophesied would flow out of us, would flow out of us. This is the answer. This is the answer. In fact, in 1906, there was a reformation. There was a fresh outpouring on a people. On a street called Azusa. Since that outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the greatest revival has hit this world. Over 600 million people have their roots from that revival. 600 million, over 600 million have their Christian roots from that revival. You may not call yourself a Pentecostal, but you may find yourself. That's where your roots are from. You know that word Pentecost? People get so scared, so frightened. Pentecostal. Pentecostal. I don't know about you, but I want to live in the promise. I want to live in the promise that Jesus said he would pour out his Spirit. His Spirit would be poured out. And I want you to understand, when you are born again, the Holy Spirit lives in you. And Jesus said to the Samaritan, I mean, Jesus was a reconciler. He was a reconciler, man. He was a revolutionary of revolutionaries. Man, he came to break up status quo. He came to reform this world, to change this world. That's what we're called to do. We're called to bring heaven to earth. This is what we're called to do. And we got to look like heaven. Because Jesus said, the greatest apologetic, and that's not apologizing for being a Christian, but the greatest proof that I'm alive and that you're a part of me, the greatest apologetic we could ever live out is loving each other like Christ loved us. See, this, I believe, when the world sees this, every nation, every tribe, every skin color, every gender, right? And there's only two. But as the world sees us loving each other, living each other, having each other over for dinner. Come on. It's time to... Who's coming to dinner tonight? When's the last time you had somebody that doesn't look like you over for dinner? I'm talking real relationship, real reconciliation. He's called us to more than justice, to more than just forgiveness. He's called us to live together, to love each other together. And this, when the world sees this, this will be irresistible. This will be irresistible. This is what irresistible Christianity looks like. 3,000 people, irresistible. 3,000 got saved when the Spirit of God was poured out from every nation, every tribe, from around the world. Bam! Pentecost. And in 1906, a man named William J. Seymour, a humble man, the son of two slaves, he was born 4 years after his parents were freed from slavery. His dad fought for the Union, African American man. Dad died young, but William came to Jesus young. Man, when you read history, it just breaks. It should break your heart. When you read the history of the church, even. Now, again, the church has always been a light. It's always been a light. And I'm just amazed at God's love for us despite us. And despite all of our issues. And even right now, we got issues. When you read the history of Christian brothers and sisters, and how white Christians wouldn't let black Christians into their church, what Bible are you reading? What Holy Spirit is living in you? They might have had a deposit of the Holy Spirit, but that was about it. They may have had mental revelation, but there was no river flowing out of them. Not if racism was still predominant. It just can't be. I mean, it's just unthinkable. It should be. Let me say this. You may not be a racist, but for you to think you don't have any prejudice, look, we're not Jesus. We all fall short. Jesus said, don't judge. Especially, like he's saying, don't prejudge. That's what prejudice is, and we all have it. And the river of God, the Holy Spirit, wants to drive it out of us. Amen. It's the answer, church. And in 1906, what led to one of the greatest revival that has not stopped in Azusa Street in LA, California, God sent William J. Seymour to a church, a small church where a woman was the minister, the pastor, or leading that church. That's a whole nother moment. But I don't have time to get to that one. Let me say this. I'm going to just stop here. Go, look, women, you can do anything and be anything in our church and the church of Jesus Christ, the church of God. You can do anything and be anything but a man. You process all that with the Holy Ghost. Look, it's evil. These things are evil, and we're to drive it out. And the first place it has to be driven out is our soul. And it happens as we open the door of our hearts and let the river of God drive it out. Drive it out of us. It's the river. William Seymour, discipled by many, many people, traveled around America, but landed in Houston. Landed in Houston before he got to LA. Landed in Houston, was discipled by a white pastor who loved him and discipled him, but he wasn't allowed. He wasn't allowed inside the room with the other white people that were being taught by him. He had to listen outside of a door. And when those that were being taught would come to the altar and tarry and wait on God, guess what? He wasn't allowed to tarry and wait on God with them. But you know what was amazing? William Seymour wasn't bitter about that. He was thankful for what he got. It was unjust. It was wrong. But because he kept his heart pure. Oh my goodness. God used him to open the floodgate of the river onto the earth. 1906, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit came. Tongues, other languages were being spoken. But this is what he said. William J. Seymour said this about the evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He said this. He says, he came to believe that blacks and whites worshiping together was the surer sign of God's blessing and the Spirit's healing presence than speaking in tongues. The fact that the church had nationally split along racial lines meant that the charismatic ideal of cooperation with the Spirit was the key. See, he said that was the primary fruit and evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So many people get caught up and ask me, man, if I ask for and I let the river of God flow out of me and let the Holy Spirit baptize me with Him, do I have to speak in tongues? No. You get to. That's not the evidence. Jesus said, you will receive power to be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. Which meant you were going to have to overcome prejudice and racism wherever you went because it was all over the world. And the only way to overcome it is by the power of the Holy Spirit. And letting the river of God flow out of you and me and drive it out. Revival. Morning, afternoon, and evening. Three services a day, every day for 3 years. 3 years. I have struggled just to get you here twice a month. Three services a day for 3 years. One minister came from North Carolina, pastor, and he responded to the altar call, went up, and several black men laid their hands on him. And he said his body just convulsed, like, and he left. He was so offended. This pastor was so offended that these black men had laid their hands on him. And he left, and he went to the hotel, and that night, Jesus did surgery on him. He said he had a coming to Jesus moment, just like Peter, just like Paul did with Jesus on the road to Damascus. The next day he came back, having repented and responded again and tarried, and black men laid their hands on him again, and he got filled with the Holy Ghost. Then he went to North Carolina and took an old tobacco warehouse and started meetings. And revival broke out there. And it seemed everywhere the Spirit of God broke out, and it broke out everywhere across this nation. But the sign, one of the greatest signs, was the diversity. The diversity. God was breaking down racial barriers by the Holy Spirit. The river is the answer. The Holy Spirit and His anointing. It's the only way to get sanctified. It's what sanctification is. It's allowing the Spirit of God to make you like Jesus. To empower you like Him. And over the next 8 weeks, we're going to be unpacking the power of the Holy Spirit. Next week, you cannot miss it. My life message I will be preaching on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I've been privileged to be able to pray and lay hands and see thousands of people activate the gift of the Holy Spirit in their soul. And next week I'm going to be preaching it. And we're going to boost it online. We're just going to get it out there. Because this is the answer, church. What God has done, what God has begun just foundationally in our church and bringing the nations to us to be one, to become one by His Spirit. It's a work of His grace. He's not done. We're not done. We're not done. We're going to reach every nation and we're going to see real reconciliation, real relationship. John 17, verse 20. I'll tell you how important this is and how important unity and racial reconciliation is to God. Jesus, before He went to the cross, He prayed this prayer in John chapter 17. He said, "My prayer is not for them alone," meaning it's not just for My disciples, "but I pray also for all those who will believe in Me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as You are in Me and I am in You, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that You have sent Me. I have given them the glory that You gave Me, that they may be one as We are one. I in them and You in Me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that You have sent Me and have loved them even as You have loved Me." Church, this is how the world, this is the greatest apologetic, this is the greatest proof that God is who He says He is. When we live this out, when we allow Jesus' prayer to be fulfilled, which means you're going to have to lay down your life, which means you're going to have to lay down your preferences. It means you're going to have to love like Jesus loved and not care about your rights, but lay those down and listen and try to understand. Listen, I will never know fully what it's like to experience what my brothers and sisters have experienced in this church, in the world, those that are part of this family. I don't know. I don't know what it's like. But I know more of what it's like today than I ever have. Why? Because I've heard their stories. I've listened. And by the power of the Holy Spirit and the grace of God, I've entered into uncomfortable conversations. And by the grace of God, the power of God, I actually laid my opinions down. Can I say something about our opinions? They really don't matter that much. What matters is God's Word. But reconciliation is about listening. It's about caring. It's about laying your life down, laying your rights down for someone else. It's what Jesus did. And don't let me pretend that you can do this apart from what I'm talking about. The Holy Spirit is the answer. The Holy Spirit is the power to do this, to live this out. And the fruit of it, the greatest fruit of our lifetime, was in 1906. The Holy Spirit came down. And what was the fruit of that? Unity in diversity. Racism being driven out. So church, this is our moment to rise and shine and be a light and to walk this out. And we don't do it perfectly, but that's the power of the gospel, man. We have mercy and grace available to us. And I love what Dr. Rice, he modeled this, you know, 20 years ago for me, in that, man, we can enter into this almost like this grace cone. Like it's like this, you know, this vacuum we can enter into as brothers and sisters that have differences. And we can enter in and we can have tough conversations. And we don't have to be afraid to say something wrong, because the grace of God there is to cover it. And then we understand better. And then we can be more sensitive to one another. Amen. We desire reconciliation. Shannon, if you would, if you're watching online, if there's any way you can find some bread, some juice, we're going to take communion. And right at the bottom of your seat, by the leg of your seat, there's the elements of communion available. And William Seymour said this, he had this quote. He said, "The color line was washed in the blood." The color line was washed in the blood. When brothers and sisters, when we dwell together in unity, God commands a blessing. So this morning in prayer, I don't know if we can put the hands up, if you can find our praying hands. So I had a vision, and I saw these hands on the billboard out here on the highway. I know it's not cheap, but Jesus' blood's not cheap. So God, I'm asking you to provide the resources and the billboard. Put those hands up. What we hold here is the power to transform us, to change us, to heal us, to restore us, to forgive us, and allow the Holy Spirit to flow. This allows the Holy Spirit to rush like a river out of our hearts until Jesus comes back. Right here, amen? If you're watching and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you're here today and you're not right with Him, examine your heart. Just pray to Him. He wants to forgive you. He wants to reconcile you to the Father and to God. And then He wants to reconcile you to your family, to your friends, to your neighbors, and to people that don't look like you, talk like you. This is the power of the gospel, church. We got to let the gospel fully work itself out in us and in our cities and in our neighborhoods and in our workplaces. Say this. Anybody in this room, anybody watching, if you've experienced prejudice, racism, injustice, I'm sorry. My heart goes out to you. More importantly, God's heart was given for you. Jesus gave His life for that injustice. He shed His blood that you could be healed and made whole. But it begins by first receiving His love, receiving His forgiveness for the injustice you've done to Him. We have no hope apart from Him. You can't give something that you haven't received. Today, if I've said anything insensitive to anyone, I'm sorry. I'm a broken vessel. I tell you this, I said set it with God's love, with His Spirit. And I make mistakes and I can be insensitive too. And if I have, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. This moment is a moment that all of us can receive His forgiveness. I mean, I certainly don't want to be a hindrance to God's love and His forgiveness. And I know sometimes I can put my foot in my mouth. I know that. But I hope you can feel His love today. I hope you can see the answer to the crisis, to the situation that we're facing right now. Church, we must unite. We will not let the world divide us. We will not. It's not going to happen. Because of the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? So if you're here today, before taking communion, if you're watching, just say, Jesus, examine my heart, forgive me. Forgive me of my mistakes, forgive me of my prejudice, forgive me of my anger, forgive me of my judgmentalness, forgive me of my opinions that I've elevated higher than Your Word. Forgive me of things I have done. Forgive me, God, for breaking Your heart. But I receive what You did on the cross for me today. I receive Your love. I receive Your forgiveness. Lord, I pray You would anoint Your body and Your blood as we partake it together. Lord, cleanse us and purify us. Make our conscience clean. And Lord, let rivers of living water flow. Let rivers of living water flow today in every heart and in every soul. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Bethel Church. If you'd like to connect with us, download our app using the keywords Bethel Chandler or visit us online at BethelChandler.com.